two hands, and I had a dream about there was a funnel, and what was needed was we were trying to get the funnel into the right place to, it was about the church, and it was about us trying to, needing help, needing another hand, actually get the funnel into whatever it was the thing was going into. You know, it's right with dreams. It all makes sense when you're dreaming it. And afterwards you think like, well, what were we trying to get in and what was it going into? But that's what it was. It's about us needing another hand that will bring the funnel into what is the next thing. Yeah?
Yeah. And that was the dream. You know, it may just be that it's fairly obvious, we need help. It would be absolutely brilliant if the Lord could give us some insight as to how we should be praying in that. You know, funnel in the Old Testament is one of those contested words. It can mean all sorts of things. It can mean a conduit, it can mean a pipe, it can mean a channel. So it's all the same, you know. It's not impossible for us to get from here to where God is taking us to. Isn't it nice to know that it's possible that God can take us somewhere and that we're not forever stuck where we are now? The question is how and what God would do. So, if in fact you feel as though you've got a little bit of insight, add it on in, and if we are finding that there's a voice here and a voice there that confirm and so on, that will be a real help to us. We're not the only church that's finding it difficult to move from one place to another at the moment. I'm not talking about physically, but see changes occur. So let's pray that Carol will be the channel this morning for the Spirit to speak to us. Father, we thank you that Carol has stepped up, even under her particular circumstances this morning, to be willing to share your word with us. Lord, I pray that as well as words, there will be spirit. Father, that there will be life, that your oil will flow so that it touches our hearts and makes us different people who are following your Son more closely in more areas of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Right. Now I can see you. I felt like, what was that thing? Was it, what's it, how that nose that appears over the wall? Chad. That was it. I felt like Chad. Anyway, I'm calling this, what does God want? What does he really want? You can sing along if you want. This started as a 5-minute talk that I was going to do on the brunch weekend, but the day before my mum's journal, thought that was a bit much, which is a good job because it goes to 8 pages. Right, so you might need to buckle in. Big writing, honestly. And it's about a verse in scripture that you probably know really well, Micah 6:8. And Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So I haven't put it up because I think that's a fairly simple one to remember. And that was fine, and I'd done some prep and I was working on it. And then somebody said to me, how do you square the circle with require? Is that means there's an extra condition for salvation? Because John 6:29 says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Right? So I thought, you know, like, you're going in one direction and somebody gives you something and you think, oh, I'm going to have to look at that now. Okay, so I did. Now, I am not a biblical scholar and I certainly don't know any Hebrew, but Google's a wonderful thing, okay? So I looked it up. And the word that's translated require is the word darash. And 7 times in the Bible it's translated as require. But 53 times it's required as seek. So it's not quite as sort of severe as the word require. So I also looked up in different translations. In the NCV, which is the New Century Version, it says, he wants from you? What is it that he wants from you? In the good news, it says, what is it he wants from you? In the message, it says, what is he looking for? Okay. The CEV, which I can't remember what version that is. Contemporary English version says, he demands of you. And then David introduced me to a Bible that I'd never heard of, which is called the Net Bible, which is where a massive amount of Bible scholars have got together to try and produce a digital Bible, and that's a translation. But the important thing is it has a phenomenal number of footnotes, like 30,000 footnotes for a verse. You know, it really is sort of a hive mind in terms of translation. And then that's where I got the title from, because it says, oh man, what is good and what the Lord really wants from you? I thought, that's what it is. This is not about an extra requirement for salvation. It's about what the Lord really wants from you. So it's not a condition of salvation. It's just something that God really wants. And I was also thinking about Luke 12:48, where it says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So what is it that God requires of us? We're here because we believe that God saved us. And therefore, following on from that, our desire should be to do what God wants of us. Yeah? He's not as interested in our presence in a church on Sunday, us being here, as he is in our presence working in our community the rest of the week. Yeah? He is interested in us in here and come together to worship and to hear and to learn and things. But he's also interested in what we are doing the rest of the time. So having saved us, he now wants us to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Right, before I tell you what I think those things mean, I'd like you to get into little groups and discuss them. Three groups would be really great if you could just shuffle. Because I want one group to start with act justly, one group to start at love mercy, and one group to start at walk humbly. Okay? That makes sense. And then you can go through all three. If you start at different places, if I give you 5 minutes, we may have a sort of a little bit of a feedback thing. So if this group over here could do act justly, that group over the back do love mercy, and this very small group here at the front do walk humbly. Yeah? And then you can do the others, but that's your starting point. That would be good. So act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. What do you think those things mean? There's probably a variety of things that you think it means, but... Okay. Yeah, good. Right, so I can stop now. Okay. Covered all the bases, done all the stuff. I'm going to start by looking at act justly. I think a lot, because I heard you talking about the scales of justice on the Crown Court, it is Crown Court, isn't it? Whatever it is, in London. And I think for a lot of us, we tend to think of acting justly being about in the political, economic, and the judicial realm. It's punishment for doing wrong. Somebody's committed a crime, they receive the punishment they deserve, justice is served. You know, thefts, fraud, governments held to account, law breaking, impacts on the poor, Grenfell, blood, you know, there is a massive long list of things where justice needs to be seen. Acting justly is all those things, but they tend to be big things, and it's much more difficult to see how we can act justly on a daily basis. Yeah, with the big issues, you can see where, you know, there's an injustice and it needs to be put right and etc. But it tends to be an out there thing, a big thing. And I think with this verse, it's about us and how we can act justly on a daily basis. A bit more Hebrew. Mishpat is the word that is translated justice in the Bible. And it carries the meaning of punishment, but it also carries a meaning about seeking out the poor and vulnerable and helping them. It's got that meaning to it as well. And I think Mishpat is that word of justice is really summed up in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, where it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Speak up for the right of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. One of the ways that we act justly is in trying to create a world where people have equal opportunity to fully develop the gifts God has placed within them. One of the biggest problems with... biggest problems, so that really sounds bad, doesn't it? But one of the problems that people who are poor face is that they are not able to make choices. Choices are made for them. And we need to help create an environment where people do have choices, and they have the choice, like David was saying, of choosing to act mercifully. We need to be very wary in this whole area of justice and walking justly about virtue signalling and do-gooding and greenwashing, where we have knee reactions about what they, in inverted commas, need. We tend to be looking from the outside about what it is that they need, and we can't do justice on a daily basis without help prompting from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that says, this is the person to help, that's the person to help, this is what you need to be doing with them. So it really ties into last week when we were talking about being anointed with oil for service and for gifting, because if without that, we do just become do-gooders, and we do just tend to have knee reactions, and we do get involved in things where it's just for show, which we talked about when we were talking about walking humbly. It's about empathy rather than sympathy. Psalm 146, 7 and 8, it says, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. We can't bring justice to everyone and every situation, but we can look to the Lord to bring justice every day. And that, like you were saying, the three things are held together. You can't sort of really do one without the other. True mishpat is where problems of the vulnerable become our problems, and they're tied to our attitude to community. So it's about looking for those opportunities daily to walk and act justly. Love mercy. Third word, okay, is hesed. Faithfulness, steadfast love, kindness, loving kindness, God's kindness to us. Being drawn to mercy is to show compassion for those in need. Those in need are not always others, but it's also people like us, friends, family, neighbours, colleagues, okay? They're the people that are around us. They aren't some sort of needy sort of person over there. They're actually people that we know, people that we interact with, and we need to show them compassion. It's not easy because we are bombarded every day with need. And it's easy to harden your hearts because and our minds to be judgy. I had a friend conversation with some friends who are not particularly Christians, and they were about something I was describing, that something we were doing or whatever, and they said, but what happens when people take advantage of you? And I said, well, in a sense, if we're taken advantage of, that's God's problem, because if we're doing what God's told us to do, he can sort out the fact that we're being taken advantage of. That's just us, you know, feeling sort of disgruntled about something. And it's easy to be trapped into thinking that they, okay, these poor, vulnerable, needy people, are foolish or taken advantage, or the one that really, really gets up my nose, just so that you know that I'm not sort of, you know, fantastic, not helping themselves and not taking the really good advice I have just given them. Yeah? Okay? And acting on it. So we have to cut, as Christians, if we are going to take this verse seriously, we have to cut people some slack. Yeah? And we shouldn't differentiate between what we consider the deserving poor and the undeserving poor. That's not our decision to make. That's God's decision to make. So, in society, we tend to stay in our own sort of groupings. We tend to have friends that are similar to us, that have similar expectations and similar experiences and similar types of jobs. But justice and mercy are about all the people we come into contact with. And it's about seeing people, yeah? We talk about seeing a need. We shouldn't be seeing the need, we should be seeing the person who has the need. Because I think if we see the person who has the need, we are less likely to be, oh, not taking my advice, because you're listening to the person. And sometimes we get worried that we'll get dragged into things that aren't good, all right? I was always struck, this is a bit of a sidebar, but I think it's a story worth sharing. Lauren Cunningham set up YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and for a while he lived with his young family, school-aged children, in the middle of the red light district in Amsterdam. And he was working in mission in that area. And his kids had friends who were prostitutes, were sex trade workers, etc. And people said to him, what about your kids? What about your children? Etc., etc. And he said, I'm doing what God has told me. God would look after my children. And they did. Oh, we've had a delivery. Rather impressive delivery that I can see under the chair, I must say. We might get the kids to just give us a quick show and tell at the end. So that's about loving mercy. And then we got walk humbly. Walking humbly, well, no, walk is a metaphor that we use a lot to describe the overall direction of life. You see a lot about your walk with God, your walk with this, your walk with that, etc. When I was a sixth form tutor, my tutees used to hate it because they'd go, walk with me. And they'd go, oh, I've done that, sort of thing. And I would talk to them as we were going on to the next lesson or over to the staff room or something like that, just quickly, but it was walk with me. I think walking humbly is describing, which I think what Peter was talking about, a comfortable relationship of the presence, our presence with God, and a life that fits into that walk with him. Really, walk humbly comes at the end of that list. There's a bit where in my head I think it should come at the beginning of the list, because if you are in a comfortable daily relationship in the presence of God, then I think loving mercy and doing justice easily flows out of that. It's about our daily attitude towards God. It's cultivating our walk with God, and that's what provides the power and the passion for us to be fully engaged with people. We need to accept the gifts that God has placed in us, and it implies an active faith, seeing God as a daily guide. Not about being arrogant and egocentric, which is the point your group was making. It's a bit like that really old hymn, which I'm not going to sing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And it is about your walk with God daily being so close that you trust what he says and you obey and do it and know that he will sort out the consequences of it. So what God does want? What does he really want? He wants us to do justly on a daily basis, not just the big things which are easier to leave to others. He wants it where our lives are involved with the people who need us to see them. Yeah, it's about seeing the person. He wants us to love mercy. We need to cut people some slack. We need to show compassion. And remember that vulnerable people are not always people we perceive as worse off than us. I had a really, really difficult head of department at my school who other staff really, really, really didn't like. And I decided to be unrelentingly nice to her as my way of dealing with it. You know, like coming in the opposite spirit, I was unrelentingly nice. So whenever we went out on a night, girls' night out, they'd say, I'm going to invite Hillary. And they would go, oh, no. I said, I'm going to invite her. And she slowly started to come to things and stuff. And it was through that that I found out she had a horrendous childhood. She'd been abandoned by her parents. She'd been brought up by an aunt and uncle. And there was loads of stuff going on, sort of thing. But it was about seeing her and then the fact that, and then being, I didn't think myself as showing mercy and compassion at the time, but I think I just thought it'd make my life easier, right? Sort of selfish motivation, really. But anyway, I did. And he wants us to walk humbly. He wants us to be comfortable in his presence, sharing things, learning things, hearing things, being prompted by the Spirit, and then doing things. So what does God want? What does he really, really want? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So a takeaway for those three things. Just think about how you can make them an action for every day in your life. Even if it's just when you get up, say, Lord, because if you can talk to him, you're doing the humbly bit, you're walking with him. How can I do justice and how can I love mercy today, here and now?